The Bible reading is from Psalm 95. I think we got the words too, if you want. Yep. Look, I want to say a thank you to Shima. We would be stuck without Shima, absolutely. She's amazing. Yeah. Psalm 95, it's a good reading. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my way. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And Peter's going to explain all that to us, I think. Eh? I hope. Thank you.
What an amazing universe that we're in. Last week, we began by looking at chairs. Do you feel like you've got a place? Is there somewhere where people know your name? And it's really important to begin thinking about God from the perspective of he is the one that knows your name. Today, though, we're going to talk about awe-struck worship. If you can just flick up my screen for me, thanks. And I want to ask you the question, when was the last time you experienced awe-struck worship? When was the last time you sat and just went, wow? I remember the 11th of December 2016, I was in a little bus and I'd travelled from a place called Pahia up to Cape Reinga, which is the very north of the North Island of New Zealand. I got out of the bus, having talked to some people, I put my backpack on, and I looked south, and all I could see was the distance of New Zealand headed in front of me, but I turned right instead. And I walked about 300 metres, and when you get there, there's a lighthouse, and there's a signpost. And when you look north, all you can see is the sea, the ocean of the Tasman Sea. You look left and you see the ocean, you look right, you know you're right at the peak of New Zealand. I touched that pole, somebody took a photo of me and I turned around and I began to head down the pathway, and it's on a high headland, so you start on a concrete path, and I just began to jog. And my heart started to kind of get used to running, and I ran along the footpath and then came down to some steps, and the steps take you down the headland, and eventually you end up at 90 Mile Beach. The fact is, 90 Mile Beach is 88 kilometres long, but I don't know why they call it that. But you go on to the beach, and I began to run in the sand, and your heart rate goes up when you first start running in sand because it's hard, but eventually your breath gets right. It was about 11:30 on a Sunday morning, and my heart rate came up, and then kind of a few minutes in, my heart rate had kind of come down, and I looked down the beach, and I knew that it was about 30 kilometres of sand in front of me that day. So I remember heading down through the sand, going across the first of the rivers that I'd go across and up another sand dune and headlands, and got lost and weaved my way down the beach for the afternoon and went past dead whales and dead fish and all sorts of things. And eventually got to a point I thought, tonight is the night, this is where I need to sleep. And it was a beautiful, beautiful day. So I decided I'd just sleep out under the stars. So I put my mat out, I got my sleeping bag out, and I just sat there, and in front of me was the ocean you know that noise of the ocean that just pounds? And I looked out in the ocean and I could not see any other person, any sign of life. Except very, very occasionally you'd see a fishing ship way out in the horizon. But I knew that there was nobody around me. And that the darkness began to fall and it got darker. And I was just sitting there knowing that there was nobody anywhere near me. The pounding of the ocean and the darkness comes and suddenly the stars start coming out. And you see the Southern Cross eventually comes out. And then all the other stars start getting brighter and brighter. And because you're in a place where there is no light pollution, you see an incredible array of stars above you. And you see the satellites streaking across. And you go, my God made this. You stand there under the firmament of all that God has created and you go, wow, that is God. 1992, 18th of August, Linda had been in labour for 2 days. She went in labour during, we were playing cards Sunday night. And we said, carry on, finish the game. And eventually we went into the hospital and 2 days later we were sitting in St. Margaret's Hospital in Christchurch. 6:18 at night, a little baby is born. And you look at the eyes and you say, he who made all of this also made that. Awestruck worship. See, at any one of those points, you can just go, what a great universe. What a beautiful baby. Or you can go, God made this, and have awestruck wonder. You and I owe it to each other and to God to have experiences where we are struck by the wonder of God. Where we position ourselves and our heart so that we respond to the awesomeness of God. In the 1990s, there was a guy called Matt Redman, you might have heard of him, wrote the song Heart of Worship. He was at a church called Soul Survivor in Watford, and they were struggling with worship, they were struggling with what they were doing. And Pastor Mike said to them, we're going to stop using instruments. We're going to stop using sound systems. We're just going to come. And we're going to spend time with each other and we're going to see what God does. And out of that moment, there was this song called The Heart of Worship. This is some of the words. When the music fades, all is stripped away and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. We need to be a people of worship. In the psalm, it gives us some hints about what it means to come into places. See, there are moments where God will come, irrespective of what you do, and he will awe himself in your life. But it's also true that you can position yourself to come into places of awe. And that's what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about manipulating God so that he comes. I'm saying position ourselves so that we are more able to hear what God is saying. And it says here, begin, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Music is actually one of the things. It's not the thing that is worship, but it is a thing that can help us worship. We've sung some of those songs this morning and we've chosen those deliberately. Awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. or indescribable, from the highest of heights to the depths of the sea. We've talked about the awesomeness of God. We've talked about that. Do you have like a playlist? I did that this morning, just went for a walk before church this morning and turned my worship playlist on, because I know that there are some songs that help me attune to God. You can get playlists now on your phone. You can go home and you can get YouTube videos. And I encourage you to find three or four or five songs that God uses to touch your heart, and just occasionally, just go away by yourself and play those. I've got my noise-canceling headphones, so I put them on, I blare them up, and nothing interrupts, but I just have that time. Often in the morning after I've read the Bible and I've gone for my walk, I'll turn music on, and it's certain songs that just attune me, turn me to God. One of those songs, I don't know if you've ever heard it, is called The Three Wooden Crosses by Randy Travis. It tells of a bus journey across America, and there are four people on the bus. There's a preacher, a teacher, a farmer, and a hooker. Four people on the bus. And at one point, a rig comes across the bus, and the bus can't stop, and these people are killed in the bus crash. And three of the four are killed. That's why it's called Three Wooden Crosses on the right side of the highway. Why there are four, I'll never know. And the story tells the story about the blessing of the farmer to the world because he creates a crop, and the blessing of the teacher to the world because she teaches young children, and the blessings of the preacher who, as he died, placed his blood-stained Bible in the hands of a hooker and said, "Can you see heaven?" And the person who wrote the song is the son of the hooker, because she came to know God in that moment. And every time I hear that, it touches my heart. So we all need songs that really touch our hearts. If you keep on reading through Psalm, it says, "For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth and the mountain peaks." This is when we go into the outback, when we go and see the stars, when we go to the great oceans, when you go to, you know, Kakadu and you walk upon the red land, or Alice Springs. I still remember going for a run amongst the rocks around Alice Springs, and just the red land, and it's just incredible. Or you're going to the Kakadu and you go through the canyons, and the dust is coming up and the rocks are around, and you think, what an ancient land upon which we stand. And God speaks to us through the world in which we live. Then later on it says, "Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God." If you've been around church any length of time, you've probably heard that the word worship simply means to prostrate. It's not something you'd sing. Worship isn't singing. Worship is when you place yourself in a prostrate position before God, before a king. It was originally used for when you came into the king's palace and you lay down or you knelt in front of the king, and we bring it to our God and we say, at some position, we need to position ourselves. Now, sometimes that's a physical thing. Sometimes we need to kneel before the Lord God, our maker. Sometimes we need to lie on our faces. Sometimes it's just a heart thing where you position yourself. And you understand, and you look at a video like I played, where you realise how small you are compared to the universe. You know, you look at us and you go, if you go down into Joe, eventually way down there are quarks. Billions and billions and billions of bits of energy that somehow have been put together to make the uniqueness of Joe. And you look at that and you go, beautiful, but then there's this universe and this world. And you go, how can I not bow down before that God? And then right at the end says, today if you hear his voice. Most of us, when we read the first bit, go, oh man, isn't that amazing? I wish you'd left out the second part. Today, only if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. We do have to be very careful because God, as I've said before, is a gentleman. He opens the door, but he doesn't push us through. And we have to be very careful that we don't harden our hearts to the greatness of God that is around us. You can see the amazing wonder of the universe and not see God if your heart is hard. You can look at that beautiful little child and not see God if you harden your hearts. You can be so upset by the evil in our world that you don't see the beautiful Father who created the world in which we live. As John so eloquently said, you know, the world is not what God even desires. It's not what we desire. But we only have it because our God gives it to us. So in a moment, we're going to sing our last song. And I just want you to think about how can you position yourself, not just to worship God, but to experience awestruck worship. Because that changes the world. And for you, it might be the smallness of the universe or the incredibleness of the universe. It might be by yourself, or it might be in a crowd. It could be in nature, or it could be in God and the incredible architecture that we find in this world. But find places where you are struck by the awesomeness of God. And it is a benefit to you and it's a benefit to us if you go to those places and experience the worship of God. So let's sing together our last song.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.